Holy and eternal Father, we just come before you. We thank you for our time of worship. We thank you that we get a time to bless you, and you also get to bless us with your presence. And Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we just lift up this next part of the service to you. We just ask that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today, and that you would anoint Stan as he brings it forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to check out this microphone. If you guys want to... Oh, there we go. Coming right up. Well, wow. Got big in a hurry, didn't it? I don't need that much. Let me put this chair over here. Let me see if I can find everything I'm supposed to find. Anybody know what we're preaching in nowadays?
Revelation.
Okay. How many of you have been reading in Revelation and pretty well up on it, and you got it down and all of that? Yeah, me either. Yeah. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of looking. I did a lot of everything. And I went through a lot of different books of different people on Revelation and got their opinions and what they thought. And I'm saying, oh my. But you know what? I just kind of balanced it along with the Word of God. And if it didn't match, it didn't fit, then I just scratch it off and say, that's just not it. It's not there. There is always a thing Revelation does tell us in the end, that if anybody adds to or takes away from this word, that you will be in trouble. You will receive some of the plagues that we'll be talking about today may come your way, so don't do that. Don't add to, don't take away. And I don't recall in my past ever thinking about the word apocalypse. I always thought that was some great big atomic blast going off somewhere in my mind. I didn't know what it was. So I looked up the word. It was not what I thought. Apocalypse means it is an unveiling. Take the curtain down. Take a look. See what's there. That's what it is. It just reveals things that God wants us to know, you and I to know. See if I can find my place here. Basically, I have 10 and 11, chapters 10 and 11 as my for today, so you might want to turn there. I was looking at some jokes just for fun. I ran across a little piece of paper. I don't know where I got it out of, one of my Bibles maybe or something. I like this guy. He says, I like to hold hands in movie theater. It really startles the strangers. I would imagine. And it says, the best thing about the good old days is we weren't good and we weren't old. That's about right. Been there, done that. I said, I named my two dogs Rolex and Timex. They're watchdogs. Okay. I like this one. Never trust an atom. They make up everything. Okay, didn't like that one. I like this one. Here's one here on the back. There's these two guys standing in a car lot and the guy says to him, he says, if you fall behind on the payments, it drives itself back to the dealership. The Uber, huh? I don't know. What's this? I wrote this one. I wonder where I got this. Love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. We better quit while we're ahead here. Anyway, okay, Revelation. It has been a real blessing for me. I got to say that. Am I coming out loud? It seems like it's loud to me. It's not. If you guys, okay, don't let me persuade you. But I'll tell you, the scripture, Revelation says, if you hear it and you read it, you will be blessed. So that's why I read most of the scriptures I read out loud. I get to do both. I get to see it and I get to hear it. And I was thinking about that and I said, if you were in the biblical days, what did you do when you went to the sanctuary? It's the book of Moses and those things were read to you. The book of the law was read. The average person did not know how to read. Not unlike you, which have all kinds of knowledge and understanding that you and I have. So if you read it, you were blessed. If you heard it, you were blessed. So I read and look at it at the same time. I was kind of recapping, kind of going back over some of the seals and what they have been done. The other guys have brought up all of these, the trumpets. I just did a little list here of the first trumpet, what they were all about. The first trumpet was, if you remember, was when it was blown that there was hail mixed with blood. And a third of the earth was burned, a third of trees, all green grass. Wow. These are all the woes. The second trumpet, a third of the sea was burnt, turned to blood. The living creatures in the sea, and half, a third of the ships, a third, seems to be all in the thirds, a third of the living creatures of the sea, the ships. And we have the third trumpet sound, a third of the rivers, springs of water. Those were damaged. The fourth one, a third of the sun, moon, and stars were turned dark. So John is seeing all of these things as the veil is has been pulled back for him to take a look at. And there was bitter waters and just all kinds of problems that were going on the earth. The fifth trumpet, as it sounded, the locust came out of the smoke of the abyss. They had power of scorpions to torment men for 5 months. We have all these woes, trumpets of woes and things. And it says they have power of the scorpions to torture men for 5 months. But it says something interesting. It says, but not those who have the seal on their foreheads. Okay? What is that seal on the forehead? Where do we get that? So I go back to, I've got a little thing, number one over here, and it puts me back to Ephesians. Let me see if I can, let me find out where I'm at here. Ephesians 1:13 says to us, 12, in order that we were, let's read it from the bottom. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And 13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So what kind of a seal is it then? It's marked with a seal of promise of the Holy Spirit, the gospel of your salvation. Those that are saved, those that believe God's word, and those that turn from the wicked ways and start doing the right things. These people here, these trumpet demons here, says, can't do it. You can't touch those, but not those. Had the seal on their foreheads. Is your salvation important? It is to these, very important to these, and it will be to you and I. chapter 9, verse 13, we have a sixth trumpet, and it release of the four angels in the Euphrates River, released when they were released. A third of mankind was killed. They had mounted troops. And John says, I heard the number of them, and the number is 200 million mounted troops. Guys on horseback, on horses. And they were sent out. A third of mankind was killed by 200 million. That's a big number. It's hard for me to kind of fathom those kinds of numbers, especially with people on horseback. But and they were released with the sixth trumpet. And we see then in verse 20 of chapter 6, I think this is where I'm at. Get myself over there. Could not count. There's so many. I've looked at so many things. Anyway, verse 20, the rest of mankind did not repent of theirs, of what they had, mankind in chapter 9, verse 20. So we see the sixth angel sound the trumpet, the voice came out, released four angels bound in the Euphrates. They came out. We have all these 200 million. And right down to a third of mankind in verse 18 was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur. They came out of their mouths, out of these horses. And the power of the horses, out of the mouths of these men, the power of the horse was in their mouths and their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads which they inflict injury. So, took a third. The rest of mankind, verse 20, that were not killed by these plagues, still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not. Stop worshiping demons, idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. In my mind, I've always thought back through that, and I've always said, if you are worshiping one of them, I can see why they're called idols, because they can't do anything. You got something stone or wood, or what are you going to do? They're idols. They can't do anything. Nor did they repent of their, listen, verse 21, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Wow. You had 200 million guys come through here. They did not repent. Well, I guess the question is, what is the purpose of the plagues? God put these plagues all out to these people. What was the purpose of the plagues? It was to lead people to repentance. Look, you're in the wrong place. These things are happening to you. You need to repent of your sins. You need to get right. You need to stop what you're doing. How about these things that they were doing here? Just, you recognize, you guys listen to the news. I listen to it quite a bit, probably more than I should. Do we have this problem today? Verse 21. Nor did they repent of their murders, magic arts. How about that? Their sexual immorality or their thefts. Do we hear that today? Big time. Big time. There's all kinds of that stuff going on. People are killed every day for no reason all over the world. It's so easy to do that. It's too hard to recall. You know, your sexual immorality, is that going on? Big time. Don't get involved. Or their thefts. Papers full of them. Papers are full of them. They do go on. But they need to repent. They're supposed to lead people to repentance, but what it wound up doing was it just hardened their hearts all the more. All you've done is made me mad by bringing it up. We hear that right in the news. It's to- totally amazing to me. I have Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. I've got that on here for some reason. Let me take a look. Sometimes I don't always remember. Oh, okay, this is Ecclesiastes. He's talking about when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out and the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong, although a wicked man commits a 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not be lengthened like a shadow. Do we see that today? We hear things in the news and see things and say, why don't they go to jail for what they've done? What's going on? What's going on? We seem to be calling it okay. We have a lot of terms out nowadays here. I like that. One that just kind of keeps ringing in my head is the one, you deserve it. What do we deserve? I deserve better. I deserve this. I deserve that. That's the word that I'm hearing a lot, and it kind of get to the point where it stirs me. We don't always deserve. We don't always don't get what maybe we deserve, especially with God. God gives us a lot of chances to change our minds. Don't go down those roads. It says, there is something meaningless that occurs on the earth. Righteous men, this is Ecclesiastes, so you know what he found. Righteous men get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked men get what the righteous deserve. Have we seen that happen? We've seen that happen even today. This too is meaningless. Interesting. Okay, let me move on. Over here, he mentions in chapter 9 in Ecclesiastes this, moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. And that's true. We don't. We don't know whether something will happen anytime. As fish are caught in a cruel net and birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times. They fall unexpectedly on them. You've seen that happen. Wow, what happened? Good person got caught in bad fire, explosion, whatever, bomber. You know, all the things that happen. They get trapped by evil times. This is the times. So if we are up on our salvation, we have it, you won't. It won't matter. Here's a very interesting one here. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. I think our president did that, didn't he? The ruler. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. The price of an airplane or the price of 150 people. We make choices. You do. Every day. I do every day. Will I get up? What will I do? How will I do? Go to work? Will I do my studies? Will I do what I need to do? We all make choices. Choices can get us into problems, the ones that we make. We wish we hadn't done them. One thing about God, if you made a mistake, he says, just repent of it. I like that. Just change your mind. Repent means to change your mind. Go the other way. Don't do that anymore. Okay. So we have these trumpets. Chapter 10, verse 3 is what I've... So this is another mighty angel coming down, 10, verse 1. Heaven, it was robed in a black cloud and a rainbow above his head. It tells us that his face was... like the sun, his legs fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll that lay in his hand. He had a voice of a lion. And I was about to write, and here's these voice thunders here, the seven thunders spoken here in verse 3 of chapter 10, Revelation 10. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. He was about to write because that's what he was told to do. John is there. He says, look, take the book. I want you to write this stuff all down. What you see, write. So what you see and what you hear. So what John was hearing, what he saw, he was beginning to write. So the seven thunders spoke. I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders said and do not write them down. Okay, so John didn't write them down. So the question is, what did they say? We don't know. We won't know what they said. John just writes what he's told, and we read what we read. We can make all kinds of things into what they might have said or whatever. There's a lot of things that God has and says, as you know, that not everything he reveals. God does not always. In fact, I think Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 is one that always comes to me. And it says, the secret things belong to God. Okay? And the things that are revealed belong to us and your children. If it's been revealed, you can have that. You can look at that. You can see that. You understand that. But the things that God does not reveal, we can make up whatever you want, right or wrong, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to add to what God has not said or God has not spoken about. People do that. I've read enough commentaries on Revelation to see that. Anyway, there is much that God does not want us to know now. Now, we may know eventually, but right now, not for now. Chapter 10, verse 7 relates to Daniel 9:24. You really got to read through Daniel and put that together with what's going on in Revelation. Put that together. It's not an easy task to do. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of study. Daniel 9:24 really talks about concerning Israel and the city of Jerusalem and God's purposes for that time. And this part of this time about God's people that are in Jerusalem and in the Revelation here. There's a little scroll here that he talks about in his hand up here in 11, verse 2, holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and left foot on the land and gave a loud shout, thunders. And so this little scroll has in it, this is not the seven seal scroll because that was a bigger thing. This is a little scroll that was given to John. And what it is, he said it's sweet when you put it in your mouth, but when you swallow it, when it hits bottom, as that's what I say, when it hits bottom, it's not good. So what is it? He said, if you look at, he said, go ask him for the little scroll. So in verse 8, verse 9, I guess. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand, ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, this is what it was for. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. What it is a little scroll says, this is what you're going to be doing. It's a job for you to do. I have another job for you. You're going to go out and you're going to prophesy. Prophesying is sweet, but when people do not take it, they object it. God gives us his grace, his love, his mercy, But if it is rejected, it brings about judgment upon people when they do. So John's got a job for him. God has a job for him to do. Not an easy. He's going to have to go out and preach the gospel. So that's what this little book is about. If we get into chapter 11. So John measures, we have a measurement of the temple. And you can read this for yourself. Talks about the excluding of some parts of the temple because it's given to the Gentiles. They will trample the holy city for 42 months. And then he says in verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses. Okay, we got a couple of witnesses that God says he's going to give his power to. And they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. Okay, we got two witnesses here. If anyone harms or tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouth and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. The question that everybody asks, I never thought to, but then I looked at them, I said, well, who are these guys? Who are the two witnesses? God goes on to say, Jesus said that they are my. And up in verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses. So there are two of God's witnesses. I've read, I don't know how many different takes on this. And everybody comes with the scriptures and says this, because this, this, and this, this is who they are. This one's this one, and this one is that one. And it sounded okay, don't get me wrong. It sounded all right. But in the scripture here, I do not see who that is. Some say it was Elijah and Moses. Could be. I read one that he had a very good scriptural background to prove that it was. But it does not say that here. And this is a revealing here of what is going on. And it was not revealed to John. It wasn't revealed. So if I want to make something out of it, I have to go other places and find out, go back through and see, well, this sounds like this. Sounds like from what they did and what their job was, it sounds like those two guys would be very good for that. Because it sounds like the message or the thing that they had to do fit those people. But it doesn't say that they are. And these guys have some real power. They shut up the skies, will not rain during the time in verse 6. The time they are prophesying. So these are prophets that are prophesying. They have power to turn the water into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Wow, that's a pretty good powerful men that these are. But God says they were his two witnesses. We see two, all throughout scriptures. Jesus on the mount, on the transfiguration on the mount, there was two. When Jesus went back to heaven, there was two angels there. At his burial, there was two angels there. So we have two angels. Well, are they all the same? I don't know. So they witnessed, these two angels apparently witnessed a lot of things. I don't know if they're the same ones that do all the other things before when Jesus was on the earth. I don't know. Scripture does not give us that. But it's interesting to think about. So they have some real power, these guys. Verse 7, now when they have finished their testimony, so these guys are having a testimony, they're going out telling the whole world, everybody around, what's going on. Then we have the beast in that very same verse. The beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them, overpower them, and kill them. We just got through reading that they can't be killed. But they can be. The beast kills them. And what happens then is they overpower, kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. You make a guess who that, what city that was, where he was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from Every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. That's interesting, isn't it? I worked in a radio and TV shop in my early days, and TVs were big and lots of tubes and big stuff. But I had a guy come in one time, just an older guy, and he says, I can't remember if I was going to church at the time or not, but he said, you know how they're going to see that? He brought this very subject up to me, and it just came back to me. He said, how are they going to see that? How's that going to happen? How is the world going to see that? They will gaze as the tribes, said men from every tribe, language, will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. He said, how's that going to happen? I said, I have no idea. I didn't know. He said, TV. I said, okay, well, that would make some sense. But in today's, it would be not a problem at all, would it? We could park a camera right there and watch for the 3-4 days or as long as we need. We have satellites all over the world. We could see this. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them. Inhabitants of the earth. It tells me that it's a lot of people. It's not just a little group. And they will celebrate. Hey, we finally got rid of these guys because these two prophets have tormented those who live on the earth. They have gone around traveling, preaching the gospel, getting things done, and we hated them. After 3.5 days, the breath of life of God entered them, and they stood on their feet. That would put terror, it says, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. So these two guys then left while their enemies stood there looking. And verse 13 of chapter 11 says, at the very hour was a severe earthquake and a tenth of the city collapsed. A tenth of the city just collapsed, earthquake, either opened up and fell or whatever. So 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. Do you think they changed their mind and just said, hey, maybe I was wrong, I changed my mind, and give glory to God? I don't think so. I think they were terrified, but I think they gave glory to God just for that reason, because they were afraid and scared, not because that they really changed their mind. Wow, this guy is very powerful. This is a powerful God. The second woe was past. The third woe was coming. Woe. Woe be unto you. Remember those kind of words you want to... So we have the seventh trumpet. We have all these trumpets, and every trumpet brings a problem to mankind. And it gives everybody a chance to straighten up in every area if they want to. The choice is theirs. The seventh angel sounded the trumpet, and there were voices in heaven which said... The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. The time has come. There's an announcement here that the time has come. And the elders that were in heaven, that were around the throne there, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, mighty God, the one who is, who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. This is a beginning to reign. But it wasn't for another 3.5 years that we have the time when Christ becomes to reign. A looking forward by the elders to the resurrections and judgments of Christ. In chapter 20, you know what happens in chapter 20. He does take over, and Christ reigns for how long? 1,000 years. Remember the 1,000-year reign? Okay. So, the time has come for judging the dead and rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, for destroying those who destroy the earth. They were glad, Lord, you're finally going to take over. But it didn't happen like they thought. There was a time frame to deal with. Then we see in verse 19, 11, 19, then God's temple in heaven was opened. There's a temple in heaven. And within this temple, we see the Ark of the Covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumbling peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. Where else did a person see, what person saw the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of his covenant. Way back in Moses' day, remember, God told him, come up here, see, I want you to make the ark on earth just like the one that's in heaven. Remember that? So how do you do that? How do you make something like that? You know, these guys just all came out of Egypt, all these kind of things. God says, look, I'm going to give, he names the names of the guys, I'm going to give them wisdom and knowledge how to work gold, how to work all kinds of things, wood and carvings, and there's a number, a couple of guys, and God says, I'll give them all the wisdom they need so you build the ark just like you saw. Is this temple in heaven is like the temple and or the ark that was the or the one that Moses I want to say not temple, but they had the ark that was made there. I just find it fascinating that all of these things from Genesis to Revelation all do fit in what God has had as far as mankind is concerned. Let's see here. If you guys have ever seen any of the movies or some of the things that guys going around the world looking for long lost gold, everybody's been looking for the Ark of the Covenant since. And the question's always asked, where is it? I've seen them all, I think. They say it's under the temple there in Jerusalem. Somebody just said, hey, you know, it's not even there at all. It came to America. I said, oh dear, where's it at in America? Somewhere in America, we lost it. It seems like it's everywhere, but it isn't. It is not lost. God knows where it is. I guess a lot of this stuff is, if I knew who the two were, what difference would it make to me? Would it change my life? Would it change anything? If I knew the names, if I knew where the Ark of the Covenant was, would it change? It's Christ. Christ and his glory. And these are a lot of bad things here. And these are things yet to come. I think it behooves us then to be like the ones that we get our marks and we miss this, that we get out of this. I personally do not believe, I have not seen anything that tells me differently, that the church will go through the tribulation. I do not see that. I ask myself this question. Who is the church? That's you and I, right? But she really is Christ's bride. Would you drag your bride through that? I love you, honey, but you're going to have to go through this whole mess. I don't think so. If you have salvation, you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I do not think that's there. But anyway, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Sometimes it's not so easy to find every answer that we think we know, or that maybe that we should know. And I'm always surprised at what your word has declared in one place or another that causes me to have to go back and rethink some of the things that I might think that may be wrong. But Lord, your Holy Spirit, you are the writer of this book. You have put it together as it has pleased you. And many, many people have not believed it. And they have And if they do not believe it, they have to write their own. So they write their own, make up their own stories, their own things that they do, because they will not believe what you have written. But Father, we believe your word as you have written it, as you have put it here. There are things we don't know. There's lots of things that I read I do not understand. But Father, you know all things. It was written for a purpose. And Lord, we just need to understand as much of it as we can. The time is short. We don't have much time. We see the times around us gathering together. And I thank you, Father. Ask you to bless these that are here today, that hear your word, study your word, that know your word, upon their families. You have blessed them. I ask you to bless them still. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm not sure what we got. Pizza, I guess, pizza today. Good. Huh?